1973, an Australian government cartographer was reported to have seen a bizarre phenomenon deep in the heart of the continent nation. According to the cartographer's account, they witnessed a large unknown object hovering directly above what had been known as the Joint Defense Space Research Facility. The object appeared to have been dull gray in color and was observed to be parked at an estimated 1,000 feet above the facility. For nearly 40 minutes, the object seemed to project different colored shafts of light down into the base until finally making a number of rapid oscillations and launching vertically and disappearing into the sky. Located just 18 kilometers southwest of the city of Alice Springs, the top-secret U.S. military base that was the alleged ground zero for this UFO report is also reported to facilitate clandestine government operations throughout the Eastern Hemisphere. This case file joined the theorists as they go on a walkabout through the Australian bush to the secret base known to the public as Pine Gap.
G'day, mates, and welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing, Case File 139, Pine Gap. I'm Braden.
I'm Zo.
I'm Dan.
And I'm the Tiger Aussie.
He's an expert in everything Australian. It's Byron.
Our
cracking beers.
Cracking beers. Our Australian correspondent.
Back That's in action. It. He's finally got off his ass playing Apex and decided to come in for a podcast.
Do something different, I thought, hey? Mix it up a little bit. Let that bum groove rise again.
Get a new chair.
It's a tough one. Should we do the Mitra right away, Zell?
God damn it.
Yeah. Or should we do that at the end of the show?
Yeah, do it at the end of the show.
End of the show. No. Well, then why don't we start with a little space news.
He's making it up.
All right, first off, they're filming a movie in space.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Tom Cruise and NASA have announced that there's plans to shoot some sort of movie, a filmed movie with at the ISS.
I don't know really.
Yeah,
what are the
details?
There's
not much about it.
Yeah, it just said that, he's going to fucking space to shoot a movie. That might be like he's going to go for like one, like how long is he going to be on the space station? Doesn't say yet.
I think it's Cocktails 2, the movie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's just doing sequels to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in space. Cocktails 2.
How are you going to run in space, Tom? How are you going to run in space?
In midair.
The only reason we go to movies is to watch Tom Cruise run.
I could. Seems
like it.
Risky Business 2 in space.
I hope so.
Oh, shit.
We can only.
Realistically, it's got to be a Mission Impossible thing, right?
Oh, it'd have to be.
Probably. What is it? Mission Impossible 7?
Yeah.
Five.
Six?
I don't know. I haven't seen the last couple.
But, like, here's my thing. I'm like. Okay, I know there's like, that people are going to be like, well, any stunt, you can die. And I know Tom Cruise does a bunch of his stunts, but like, what exciting shot can you make in space where you're not like, well, there's a chance of you destroying the whole fucking space station. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what shot can we honestly expect? Can we, some gravity fight scene? I don't think it'll be that exciting.
A fight in space would be terrible.
Yeah, it'll be like the worst. Boring. So, I don't know. But that's exciting anyways. The first movie ever shot in space coming up.
Crazy.
What else we got, Zell?
We got incredibly new photos of our lonely little world from the Light Sail 2. Light Sail is a experimentary spacecraft using pretty much solar wind to accelerate through space. pretty much. And
no, do we get the? If you're watching the live stream, I think we got the one of the photos. Pretty cool photo.
So that's from the Light Sail 2, shooting back, checking out at sales.
Definitely flat.
Look at that disc.
That's a saucer if I've ever seen it.
That's a fucking disc, 100%. Can't tell me there's nothing there, just a disc. Where the other land masses are on that disc, I don't know.
Yeah, you can only, it's just the right type of lens that you just, you can't really see everything on the disc. It's a new type of lens. It's not a telephoto or a fisheye. It's some other, it's a disappearing lens.
Flattening lens.
Yeah. Smooshes it out.
Yeah. Smooths those curves.
Takes out that extra dimension that everybody's always worried about.
Fuck, I'm
It's the same camera that I do photo shoots with. That's it. Smooths out those curves, baby. Makes you nice and flat. All right. Let's get into it. Do they call it Australia? Is this called Australia's Roswell?
I think it's Australia's Area 51.
Area 51. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's very fitting. Let's get in. What is Pine Gap? First off, shitty name for a base.
Pine Gap.
Byron, first Australia question. How many pine trees do you have in Australia?
Fucking heaps.
That is a really good question. I am wondering.
Absolutely heaps. No is native it? Ones, but there's shitloads because obviously for logging.
Oh, okay. So you guys are planting.
And also like with the colonists coming over, wanting to look more like home and opposed to just gum trees kicking around everywhere.
Oh, so they have invasive pine trees.
Oh, yeah. Gum trees are pine trees?
No, gum trees are eucalyptus. Okay. Pine trees are your pine trees.
Standard softwood lumber, baby. Pine trees. Brought them over and they set up shop over Australia.
Yeah, there's fucking heaps of pine plantations kicking around because it's great for building with. Easy, grows real quick, nice and straight.
It does get really dry though. In the summer, in the hot weather. Just saying. That could be a conspiracy on its own. The pine. Think about all those pine needles
dropping. Explode into flames.
Fire hazard, baby. That's what those things are.
That's why we fucking burn all the time.
Yeah. So what is Pine Gap?
I'm going to show you where Pine Gap is first. It's in the middle of fucking nowhere in Australia.
Australia is in the middle of nowhere.
Itself in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It's in the dead center near a place called Alice Springs. If you're watching the live stream, I got on Google. Let's do some fancy stuff here.
Oh, shit.
Northern Gap. Territory?
Boom, northern. Boom.
Hold on. Slow down it for a second.
Yeah.
Enhance.
Oh, reverse enhance.
Enhance. Shh. There it is, all smoothed out. Cleared out.
Damn, I feel like I'm on an episode of 24 here.
Shh. Enhance.
Zoom in.
Enhance. There we go.
If you're watching live stream, there's Pine Gap. It's a nice looking base, actually.
First off, okay, my first thoughts, nice looking base. Is that a fucking pool? Can we enhance over there?
The right hand side.
Enhancing. It's a goddamn pool.
It is a pool.
It's a tennis courts. Pool.
Yeah, this
it's actually,
is.
It's got.
It should be a baseball. I think there's a baseball diamond on there as well somewhere.
No, there's a baseball diamond in Alice Springs, I read. I don't know if there's one on. So if you can't see the live stream, I'll describe it to you. It's a base in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of white domes, which I guess
2, 4, 6, 13
fucking domes, 6 big ones, a bunch of small ones, but they say they look like radar domes.
So, and from my understanding, this is it's not just a base in Australia, like Australian base. This is a joint venture between the Australian government and the United States government.
That is correct, I believe.
Part of the treaty between Australia and the States.
Yeah, it's pretty much, I think it's been operating since about like the early 70s, and ever since then it's been a base shrouded in mystery. Connections of UFOs, worldwide surveillance, and a bunch of theories that, I don't know, you could just make up and just go with it, but there is some cool stuff with it, but we're going to go through some of the most known, I guess, the biggest myths or the biggest theories. Let's start with one. So a lot of people say that Pine Gap is used to control and navigate drones in and out of countries where the United States is not currently at war with, But they have, Dan, what'd you call it?
Oh, what? Extrajudicial assassinations?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Extrajudicial executions.
A fancy way to say something illegal.
We'd call it dodgy shit.
Dodgy shit.
I think most of the world would probably call it war crimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's, this is, and they think that because, like, from one of the documentaries I read, is that this base, it, like, basically intercepts, like, all data on the Southern Hemisphere. So they, like, can track cell phones and every, like, think, like, I think in my head, like, NSA shit, but on steroids. And they basically use this information to target individuals and then send out their drones that are controlled from the United States to basically take out people. And without ever, like, you know, under the guise of no one knowing where they got this information or what hit them or what struck them. Real, what'd you call it, Byron? Dodgy shit.
Real dodgy shit.
Real dodgy shit.
That's the technical term.
Of course. So the dodgy shit was really made apparent when, like, Snowden made a bunch of his claims back in 2013. That's where the NSA stuff comes from. So ever since then, that, like, the mystery of Pine Gap has kind of been pushed into the public domain more. Before, I guess no one really, the government of Australia never really admitted what it was, right? Not until recently.
Well, it was originally like a space defense, like a defense space, was how it was labeled early on. And now it's like just a satellite surveillance is what it's.
Yeah, like originally, I think it was installed in the 70s. So what's that peak? That's like prime Cold War.
Cold War, yeah.
So for, like, intercontinental, like, ballistic missiles, like in Canada and, like, Alaska, there's, like, NORAD system for, like, tracking the missiles across from Russia. I guess this was something similar back in the day. So that's how it started. And then in more recent times, been used more as a tool of surveillance, global surveillance. Pretty much on the whole southern, pretty much the other side of the world. The whole other side of the world, this thing is pretty much tracking. So goes the claims from Snowden.
Yeah, like the claims that I had read and stuff is that basically any, like, digital signals that are sent basically in the Southern Hemisphere. And they have, I guess, another base somewhere in England that catches the Northern Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. But basically between these two bases, they collect, like, any wireless signal being sent, broadcasted. They see it all, and it goes through these bases and filtered and spied on. So all your snaps that you're sending,
all those dick pics,
awkward. Yeah. Prepare to be blackmailed.
Yeah,
that's, like, the main theory. If you Google Pine Gap, that's the main theory, that this thing is a satellite information hub used for military intelligence. And
so is it just one of those things where it's just in such a good location, like, that's why they chose Australia? Like, not so much they're like, oh, we need a base in the middle of fucking nowhere Australia, but they're like, this will be perfect to cover the Southern Hemisphere if that is in fact what they're doing, is collecting all this digital data that's flowing through.
Yeah, I think the location of being in the middle of the desert, probably you probably have limited, you know, like, radio frequency interference. Because there's, like, there's that place in the States, too, which is a completely radio dark zone. Dan, do you know what that is? I just came out the top of my head. It's like in the Northeast, there's this big square in the Northeast where everyone who lives in town has access to, like, all, like, broadband internet and everything, but no wireless, no cell phones. Everything's landlined. So it has to do, that one has to do with radio telescopes or something.
See, but that's the other thing with Pine Gap, too. Like, from looking at those pictures, it doesn't look like there's any kind of, like, landing strip or anything like that. Because I had read that maybe it's like a experimental, like, airbase or something. But it's kind of hard to have that if you're not having you. We would see some giant runways.
Boom, and that's where we're gonna go next. But yeah, so in the middle, another thing I read about the position of Pine Gap is that it didn't make sense to me. But there's these certain satellites. And I guess that position ends up picking up way more satellites in that side of the planet. So it seems like the ideal place to put something like that. And it makes sense if you look at all those domes that are on there. So it's definitely used for some type of communications.
Yeah. So, Zell, most likely what you were referring to is the National Radio Quiet Zone, which is like a 13 square miles near the border of between Virginia and West Virginia.
Yeah, and like everyone who lives there, I think it's for like radio telescopes or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot, there's a couple of really nice radio telescopes up through there.
But I'd imagine if like if you wanted to collect as much wireless data as possible, you'd want to get away from as much interference as you could. So I'd probably sticking it in the middle of buckfuck nowhere.
Plus, no one gives a shit in Oz either. So put it there, and no one's gonna hassle you and come up and say, "Hey, mate, what's going on over there?"
What are the odds of having, like, you know, the storm Area 51? What are the odds Australians rallying and doing a storm pine?
They did.
Like
there
zero?
Was. There
they
was
did
last
year. A group
year.
Of, prior to that, I can't remember the date, but there was a group of Indigenous women that had a silent protest, and they were there for, I think, almost a week. And it was just solely women, and they went to the gates and just sat there and did nothing, but that was their protest.
Well, yeah, there's been multiple protests about...
Dude, I'm just saying if you're, like, I'm all for, you know, nonviolent protests, but, like, as the people, like, you're against protesting, like, that would be the bet. Like, you know what I mean? If, like, say I owned a business and there was protesters and all they did was just sat quietly outside in protest of, like, what I was doing, I'd be like, all right.
Cool.
Sweet. Whatever.
Are you talking about those four guys, Zell, that stormed it and actually ran in?
Well, yeah, there's been multiple times people have in like protest have gone there to like say like they're against the war crimes and Australia is complicit in what's going on and it should be they're trying to bring awareness. But what Braden said, Storm Area 51, and there was a small movement of Storm Pine Gap that was going on at the same time, but it never got viral. Attention, like the Storm Area 51 one. Mainly because no one could get to Pine Gap if you tried. Like Area 51's on like a main road and you can like drive and like you can drive right past it. Pine Gap's a one way in.
You're 2 hours from Vegas. In
Pine Gap's Vegas. A one way in. Alice Springs, I've personally been there. It sucked. It's a... I'm not going to lie. I've never been to a place in my life where there are so many flies.
I was just about to say, the fucking flies would have been everywhere.
Dude, I went on a trek around... They're like the giant rock Uluru.
Uluru, yep.
Which is their like sacred. It's like the biggest granite boulder in the world. It's huge. It's like 40 stories high and like
there's nothing else around it too. Like it's
nothing else. Flat desert and this rock. Giant rock. But when I was there in Alice Springs and surrounding area, the flies were so bad. I had to buy myself a head net. Because as soon as you like if you stopped moving your hands and shit, they would get into your eyeballs and drink straight out of your eye. Like just like
We've spoken about this on the podcast before, and I don't know if you put the photo up, if not, Zell, but it is.
Oh,
like,
I think I remember
the
that,
bastards
too.
Are everywhere. Like, they're all over your back, and yeah, they're after moisture because it's dry shit out there. So, like Zell was saying, they get into the corner of your mouth, like your
everywhere,
eyeballs,
man.
Just anywhere that there's moisture. And there's some pretty disturbing photos of them just, like, thick as shit. And, like, yeah, and that's why you see, like, the old – the big wide brim full hat with the wine corks hanging down to try and distract her, but they don't give a shit about that. So a lot of times you need like a full mozzie net, mosquito net.
Exactly what I had
over the head to try and.
So what you're
them.
Saying is like it would be a fruitless venture anyways because you would be getting
you'd be
even
off.
Got there, you'd be getting destroyed by the heat,
yeah,
and then destroyed by the bugs.
Yeah, you don't need guns and shit to bloody feed people off. They'll piss off because of the.
Okay,
flies.
Here it is. Here's a couple pictures. It looks like it's either a horse or a camel. Well, it's actually a camel. So that's a small amount of flies. Now imagine that. So this camel has about, I don't know, 500 flies on his, just around his eyeball. Now imagine that's a human, same thing. And look at this. This is someone wearing, it looks like, is that somebody? I can't even tell. There's so many flies on this, whatever this is. Anyways.
How do they live out there? Dude, this is the best place for a base ever.
Just put a, it's a fly infested wasteland.
That's insane. That's too many flies.
Anyways.
There's no way. But four guys stormed it. And again, we're not promoting, don't storm military bases. It's always going to be a bad idea.
People have just got it in protest.
Yeah. You're not going to have a good time.
And listen, and if you're not in like a group of like a million people, you're probably going to get shot to death. So don't do it. We're not condoning that. Bad idea.
I mean, this base maybe is a little different than Area 51 as is. It's actually on Google Earth. You can actually see the buildings. And so it's not quite a secret. And like they weren't developing experimental aircraft or UFOs or whatever they were doing the other one, but
that we know of.
That we know of. But that brings us to a little UFOs, another like super well-known story. Maybe the only big well-known story is on December 22nd, a group of three men returning from a hunt witnessed what they thought was like a hidden door open up near this base, and a UFO came out and then hovered there for a bit. Hovered without
like
sound.
A spaceship, not a I was just imagining like a little UFO like opening a door and be like, "Good day, mates." And they're like, "Ah, where'd you come from?" And then he just slowly shutting the door. So okay. Like an underground hangar door.
Yeah, like a hangar door, like they say they have that hidden door at Area 51 that Bob Lazar claims.
Yeah.
You can't really see it, it's on the side of the mountain. Supposedly these guys said that they seen it. It hovered there for a bit and then suddenly shot upward at like a ridiculous pace, as UFOs usually do. And that's pretty much the only account of that. But
by the time I looked back after watching this thing take off, that door had disappeared again and closed up, and they couldn't see where it was, and they totally lost it. So they're like,
lightning close.
Where did this come from? Which could explain, like, if you look back, or when you're looking at the image on it, there is like a lot of ridges and cliffs are sort of around Pine Gap. So it could be that there is no, when you zoom out, like in that upper, even to the north or the south, like on that ridge, that could be your takeoff, your airstrip underground.
Well, yeah. By that account, did it say like it was the side of a cliff, or was it like out of the ground? Right? Like did the bays open like into a, you know what I mean? Like the ground moves. So maybe it's like rocks and stuff on top of a platform that could, opens and then the space shoots up out.
Yeah, the way they do it or say it is it's a hidden door camouflaged in the natural surrounding terrain. So I would be guessing that it would have to be in some type of hillside or slope of some
unless kind. It's propelling straight out.
Oh, so just like...
Like on the ground, like perfect, not on the cliff, just opens up, right? And it's just...
Like a missile,
like a missile silo?
Silo,
yeah. But it's got like some dirt, debris, like cover on the top.
Maybe. I mean, that'd be easier to close it faster, probably, yeah. Rather than having like a door made of like solid rock and somehow.
I'm just saying, here's my other question about that. Where's our door? Where's our like trap door technology at? Are we at that level yet? I know the military is always 10 years ahead of us, or what they say, but like, well, I've never seen a door shut that fast, like an automatic door in my life, unless it's broken and it comes plummeting down.
Well, there is no...
Not by choice.
Well, there's a reason you don't see those doors, because people would die, but...
Yeah.
There's no reason that we couldn't use like actuators and like hydraulics to have a door close incredibly fast that would... If you got in the way though, you would lose your leg or your head or whatever.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I've never seen a door like outside of a movie close that fast. An automated, like some sort of automated like garage door, hangar door, ever.
No, but that doesn't mean we couldn't do it.
If you're saying that technology's out there, that blows my mind.
Well, actuators and stuff, like that stuff goes instant open and close. You know what I'm talking about. Now, if you scale that up to be able to close like a steel door.
Yeah, but that's a lot of weight, dude. To scale it up, I think, is the issue.
They fucking make
carbon fiber. She's right.
They fucking make tanks and shit roll around no problem at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, what? Dude, but a tank's a tank. We're talking bay doors here.
Door.
Yeah. You're just saying it's so heavy. I'm just saying we can make heavy stuff move fast. There's no reason you couldn't make, you just scale up and have
a
door.
But they would hammer into each other. Like, I don't like the mechanics of a fast moving door.
Have you seen
the most unbelievable
cupboards?
Part of this story.
Now, it doesn't,
it's like soft closing cupboards. Like,
yeah, it doesn't say it moves lightning fast. It just says it moves fast enough that when they looked back down after they watched the UFO hover, it was closed. It doesn't say it closed in 1 second
UFOs
or half
hovered,
a second.
Is there any time account of how long this thing hovered?
Moments, it says.
I'm guessing at least a minute or two.
Okay, and so moments.
Looking at your mate going, what the fuck?
Moments like 20 seconds.
Did you see
tops.
That? Are we good? And then you look back and realize,
I'll go 20 to 40 seconds is a moment. I wonder if there's some sort of like, if there's ever been like someone's like, a moment is this long, but I think 20 to 40 seconds is a moment. So like that's enough time for a door to shut. But maybe it's not even that big. Maybe it doesn't need to be that big.
Yeah, right? it doesn't say it's like hundreds of feet. It says it housed a flying saucer, like a disc-shaped craft.
Yeah.
Moment is technically 90 seconds.
Oh, that's a lot of time. You can close some big doors in 90 seconds.
We've opened up any type of technology to close any type of door in 90 seconds. Tell you what, no matter how big.
Yeah.
Think it'd be made out of solid granite. You can close that motherfucker in 90 seconds.
I'm just thinking right now, imagine you were at like one of those big shipping yards. And you know when they got those big doors that open on their big warehouses and they're really those slow rolling doors? You know how impressed you would be if you were just walking and all of a sudden you hear this like, and the door just was like, wah, open completely. You'd be like, holy shit, is that safe?
Yeah.
Are they allowed to do that?
That's exactly what you
surprise,
would say.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then you'd be worried walking through any other doorway in that place for fear of getting crunched by this fast closing door.
Hammered. But that's an interesting story. I mean, hovered, shot straight up. So, and that's right around the Pine Gap area?
Yep. Right around.
That's not the only account of mystery doors either, though. Wasn't there the cops?
Yeah, that's not the only UFO. That's just the one that everyone reports. But
with trapdoors, too.
Yeah. You're talking about the... So there's also something called... They call it a bathtub-shaped craft. And it was in 1980, and it was two police officers, and they're actually searching for a missing child, and they were covering the area alongside Pine Gap when a camouflage door opened in front of them, is what they said. So the very similar story. It doesn't say disc-shaped craft. It says bathtub-shaped. So,
and then there was a cigar one that came out as well at the end. There was a couple of bathtub-shaped UFOs that popped out, and then a cigar-shaped one followed them, and then they all took off.
Yeah, and then at this one, though, something even more unbelievable happens. A dark hole appeared from nowhere in the hills that surround the facility, and the strange objects entered the opening and then disappeared.
Straight to Mars.
Boom. Stargate. Shipgate.
So a door opened, and then this thing just disappeared as soon as it crossed the threshold.
Well, the door opened and it came out. The
door opened, and
then a black portal.
A portal opened in the hillsides, what these two police officers
said. Oh, okay.
And then the craft portal flew into the dark hole. Well, I'm saying it's a portal. It's got to be. What else can it be? Boop. Gone.
Okay, well, here's my thoughts on that. My thoughts are less likely that there's just a portal that opens in Australia, and more likely that they witnessed this way this UFO travels, and this ship opened the portal. And it just happened. They just happened to catch that. I'm saying that ship could have opened a portal anywhere.
Yeah, that
and that's how
more,
it travels.
More likely.
Oh, so the ship itself shot the portal technology and just blipped away.
It's Rick Sanchez kind of
portal gun tech.
Portal gun tech.
Right.
And that's because I was like, because you know what I mean? Like if that is on the hillside there and they saw it, people could you could wait it out and see it again. So it makes more sense to me that it's the ship. The ship flew out and they just happened to see it they could have done it in the sky and it just happened to do it on the rock or whatever. I don't know if it needs an actual physical surface to open them on, but that would be my conclusion to this, whatever craft this was.
I like the tech.
Right, because they always talk about these ships, traveling in water and not adhering to our laws of physics and stuff. So that's my guess.
Seems
on
legit.
That story.
Maybe those are only two well known accounts of a trapdoor or mysterious door in a craft, but just beyond the ridges of Pine Gap. So maybe there's a little more. You know, maybe Pine Gap is, what am I trying to say? Maybe it's also...
Maybe it's a bit more below the surface than what we can see.
Maybe there's
Before we get into that, let's take a quick beer break.
Yeah, let's take a quick beer break.
I need a refreshment.
Right back, everybody.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh yeah, full,
full. All right. So what's underground here, Pine Gap? What are we talking about here?
I'll tell you one thing.
Tell me two things, Dan.
Tell me at least two, maybe three.
If there's one place, okay, that is perhaps the most inhospitable to humans, it would probably be the middle of fucking Australia.
Yeah.
It's fair assessment.
There's no water. It's infested with flies. But what I do know is there are certain animals that do thrive in what would be seen as hot, inhospitable, water scarce environments that are infested with flies. You know what does? Lizards.
So what you're saying is lizard people.
Mm-hmm.
Alien spaceships, lizard people, inhospitable to humans, perfect place to set up shop. And maybe it's even a joint venture. You got reptilians, Australians, and Americans all in on whatever shenanigans are going on over there.
Well, you know, if we've talked about the Dulce base and stuff, if we're led to believe that there's some joint venture going on there with aliens and UFOs, at level 8, why not at other strategic bases around the world, especially ones placed here that are picking up information? Like, you think that would be also valuable to an alien race that would be on Earth? They would want to be sitting on like all the data that's traveling around Earth, to be able to pick that up. It would make sense to me. So why not? Especially like you said, Dan, if it's hot, if we do have reptilians, why not? What better place?
Yeah, I mean,
it's as hot as the fucking core of the Earth where they live, so.
They wouldn't have to worry about it too much if some of the allegations are true is that they have a 5 mile, like a 5 mile deep base underneath Pine Gap.
5 miles deep.
5 miles deep.
Jesus.
With facilities that radiate out from the center like spokes on a wheel, I guess is what the thing. So it's basically, what the fuck was it? Raccoon City? Like in the Resident Evil movies?
Yeah.
And does it just spin them? Or it's just built under, and that's just so a huge facility underground.
Right. Powered by a nuclear reactor, as well as buried underneath it are some sort of like ultra low frequency discs of some sort.
That's one of the other nuclear reactor to refuel the reptilian spaceships. There you go. What else what else is a nuclear reactor that produces a lot of power? So where's that power going? It doesn't come out of the ground in power lines as far as I can't trust Google Maps completely. It could be scrubbed. But
you know what? The other thing is, I like this and it makes a lot of sense to me because the parking lot at Pine Gap is suspiciously big.
And I don't know if you guys have heard of the town called Cooper Pedy in WA.
Yes, you guys have 100% heard of that town.
So say the name, Dan, without having Byron say it again. What was the name again? Tukapedi? I don't remember it.
Starts with a K.
I guarantee nobody but Byron has ever heard of that town.
It's like that town fucking Humpty Doo we talked about that one time.
Yeah.
Which is also legit.
What's it called again?
Cooper Petey.
Cooper
Petey. It's actually a opal mining town in WA. And it's so bloody hot out there in summer, and then it gets cold overnights in the winter, that they live underground. Oh, so the whole town is built underground in order to live in that climate. So having something built in Alice Springs, fucking Northern Territory, just as bloody hot, it makes sense for the humans to, you know, work in a decent bloody climate without having the AC running, and just as they do in Cooper Petey. So that could be
interesting.
Legit living underground for sure.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this on a documentary. It just came back to me when you said under, like, it's legit. It's like dug into like some type of like sandstone. These people dig their houses, and then the temperature is always relatively constant.
Mm-hmm.
So is sandstone the primarily, like, is that what it primarily is out there in the desert?
I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you what mineral is. I know there's a lot of ore out there.
Did you even live there? Cuts.
Me, fuck no. It's too hot, man. I've never been there. It's not a real
that,
place.
That leads, like makes a lot more sense then, because then I could 100% get on board with some underground base. And if this base has been around since the Cold War, it's not like they just stopped building it. So you could just be continually building. And over the last, think about how big it could be if it's been, they've been nonstop construction from now till, you know, back when it first opened in the Cold War.
Well, they're saying that the size of this base has actually doubled since it first opened up.
Yeah.
Originally, there was 400 people recorded, employees at Pine Gap, and both split between Americans and Australians predominantly. And now it's estimated that there's about 800 Americans and Australians still working at Pine Gap at current.
And how many lizard people?
I think there was 340.
It's
can't remember.
No, it's a 5 mile deep base. Think how many people you could fucking get down there. How many lizards?
What is that? What? How many kilometers is that?
Five. That's 5 miles, 9 kilometers almost.
That's a big base.
8.5 kilometers.
I don't know.
Still a big base.
Deep
and down. Yeah, that's 9,000 crazy.
9,000 meters deep.
Dude, that's you're almost at the bottom of the disc at that point.
That's like Mount Everest.
On the other side of the disc.
Dude, that's Mount Everest. You're at Mount Everest depths. Like, you could stick Mount Everest in the fucking, if it was big enough. But, like, the depth is Mount Everest is, like, 9,000 something meters.
Now, is there any issues to, like, digging that deep, like, on your body and going that deep? Because, I know you're not underwater, so you're not pressure, but is there any, like, negative effects?
Yeah,
that
air.
Touche.
Goddamn air. You'd have to have some insane exhaust systems going working down there.
Yeah. No, ask the people from the Matrix. They did fine.
Oh, yeah, all the mole cities. Yeah, living at Zion.
They were doing all right. They're having big old raves and orgies and stuff, and they seemed all right.
They had like CO2 scrubbers, and they had filtration, and I'm sure they had a whole bunch of stuff that generates oxygen and shit. You need all
so realistically, the like as much as it's like, okay, well, maybe they're underground because of the heat and stuff. But the other thing would be to get all the air to the bottom of that base would be crazy.
Well, if you had a nuclear reactor, you got unlimited power, you could really power some good exhaust systems, I'm sure.
I guess so. But dude, that's like a old 90s like action movie waiting to happen. You know, core meltdown at the 9 miles below the earth at the secret base, right? Oh, no, the elevator shafts are blown. We've got to take the stairs.
No, they'd be like, wait, where is it? The middle of Australia. In the middle of fucking nowhere. Ah, forget it. Never mind. Build a new base.
The deepest gold mine or deepest mine still operational in the world, it ranges between 3.1 and 3.8 kilometers below the surface of the earth in Johannesburg. So we are working, like you said, the military's 10 years ahead of us. At the moment, there's operational mines running half of the depth of what it's claimed Pine Gap. So it's not outrageous that it couldn't happen.
The only thing was excavating something that big Where do you put?
Where does the dirt? The dirt? Yeah, where do you put the dirt?
Half of us, like half of bloody Western Australia and Northern Territory,
it goes on the baseball. Haven't you guys ever seen Naked Gun? It all goes on the baseball field.
No, it's not. That's what Uluru is.
Oh, that's the rock. They just fused it there.
They're just like pushing up from below,
making it
bigger.
Oh, that's great.
Because Uluru is not far from Pine Gap.
No, Uluru is probably, I'm not sure exactly.
Let me do a little search for you and I'll get back to you.
I got a Google Earth here, right here. Because I was in Uluru and I stayed in Alice Springs to like start my tour or start my trek. And it was, I don't remember being very far outside the city.
Now, did you hear, when you were there traveling, like, did you hear about Pine Gap? Is this like a widespread known thing in Australia, or is it like,
I hadn't heard about it until I came here. Started chatting to you boys.
When I was there, I did not. Well, I mean, I wasn't really, I mean, I loved aliens and stuff, but I was not, I was playing, like, I was in college. I was just drinking way too much to care about anything else. Okay, so I got Uluru is?
We are 5 hours away. Oh, 460 Ks.
No, so yeah, Pine Gap is northwest of Alice Springs, and Uluru is southwest by
Pine
4
Gap's
hours.
Southwest of Alice Springs.
What? Pine Gap's north?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well,
Alice Springs
is
north.
It upside down because of
I got the map backwards here. I got the map backwards.
Alice Springs is
north. Byron naturally looks at his map upside down.
You fuckers.
Okay. Yeah. It's still. A little ways away, but there we go. We've come across a theory that got a whole civilization of lizard people living in Pine Gap. Got a nuclear reactor, all the energy they need, powering spaceships, powering doors that can close at incredible speeds, regardless of what you guys say, of course.
That's the most unbelievable thing to me in the world. I'm just saying, I in my life have never seen a big door ever move.
Are you a door expert?
I'm trying to think in my head. 90 seconds, I think they could do it if it were two doors like closing.
These guys traverse.
You would hear that shit. You would hear it. You'd be sitting there like watching this UFO and you'd hear this like.
How quiet are elevator doors? They close pretty bloody quick.
I didn't say how far away they were either.
Yeah.
Elevator doors?
Listen here. Yeah. Listen here, brothers. You got these craft that operate silently, defying gravity, and you don't think they can use the same tech to make a door close silently.
Listen, if they're doing portals, why they need to open doors? That's what I'm saying.
To hide.
You can't do the portals indoors.
Yeah. Why can't
get the portal
from inside to outside?
Maybe you can't. Maybe you need some type of energy from the ionosphere and it doesn't penetrate the granite rock bed of the basin. I don't know. I'm just telling. You just say they have to be able to close these motherfucking doors silently if they can fly craft with anti-gravity.
Listen, someone send me
Red Mercury.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
Element
you're never going to find a big door
Element
video.
115.
Yeah.
Telling you.
That's what they use to power
Hydrogen
doors.
Hydrogen
3. That's what they use for that
Science
anti-gravitic craft.
That's great. Anything else on Pine Gap?
Well, there's a couple more theories we can touch on.
Let's go into them.
What about one of the theories that it's some type of research station for alternate dimensions? There was a guy who wrote a book, Richard Sauder, in this book, Underground Bases and Tunnels, which he stated the bases operate in alternate dimensions.
How would you do it? Like, so could you imagine trading notes with your like alternate version self?
Maybe that's what he's doing.
Was it Interstellar? The movie or something like that?
Oh, yeah, where it reaches out, touches, but it's really just them.
He's doing a little fucking
like,
sand.
Oh, man, like we got donuts today in the break room. Like, you guys get donuts? Fuck.
Is that the one with the guy that was a Mars fucking military guy? Is that a different one? With a portal he's going to from Mars?
That's the last theory is that it's a CIA... portal experiment. Well, portals. Got the portals of the craft.
Going back, yep.
It's one of the strangest conspiracy claims, though, is that the CIA are suggesting time travel experiments and super soldier programs that take place on Mars. So they're like, this is a connection between Earth and Mars where they got their secret space program. And this guy, Richard Sauder, same guy, whistleblower Rich Hansen. This guy was, he claims to be part of this program, kind of like a Corey Goods part of the secret space program and been revert, like age regress therapied. So now
he says this, he says the same thing.
I don't think he says age regression, but he claims that
he was the bloody military guy.
Yeah. He left for Mars military service for a time through a portal in Australia is what he claimed. And that portal was to be Pine Gap.
Okay. And I'll say it again. The second that one of these guys who said they've been teleported to Mars and stuff and they can remember being to Mars, the second one of these guys like gets on a range or something and like shows me some like military like muscle memory tactics of skills, like shooting, or you know what I mean? They're like, I've never trained, but somehow my brain just remembers this, and they're like, load a gun, pow, 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 pow. Like Jason my muscle Bourne. Memories just remembered that. Because like if you were training with a pistol all the time, and then like I went to Mars and I trained with the pistol all the time, I shoot quite regularly. I'm just saying, if all of a sudden like you were like, I got to keep my memories, but I was just age regressed, and then like back to when I was 10, I would be a fucking impressive 10-year-old with a fucking pistol. I'm telling you, people would be like, holy shit, God, man, that kid's damn pretty good with a pistol. And I'd be like, yeah, I used to shoot it on Mars. That's where I learned.
No, you don't remember.
And then people would be like, oh, but these guys, all they do is they come up, they're like, yeah, I was there. And they're like, prove it. They're like, I'm like, first off, all these guys do not look like grizzled, like Mars war veterans who have seen, you know, insectoid battles.
How do you know? Have you seen one before?
No, but no, it's true.
I know what you're trying to say, though. You're expecting someone who looks more fucking jacked military style type person.
They don't look like Michael Ironsides in Starship Troopers.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm just saying they're like, they'd have some sort of skill. Like, I just can't imagine that the Mars war is so easily fought that like you can send people with no training at all.
Looks like they've been in the office for fucking
yeah, pushing pencils. And it's like,
push too many
all what they, oh, they only send field analysts. Like,
yeah,
right? Like they're,
so, I can't go to Mars. I'm an analyst.
Yeah. These guys are all look like pencil pushers. And then they're like, no, I was in battles with the insectoids and the reptoids and fighting them. I'm like, you're not really, you know, selling that part to me. If you were like, I was there to study the rocks on Mars, I'd be like, okay, yeah, fair enough. All right. But I like that, you know.
Well, that would make sense.
You know, Australia, it's hot like Mars. It's shitty like Mars.
Well, not hot like Mars, but the climate, like the red dirt and like just barren and dry. Makes sense, kind of.
Right. So be a good training point for it. So why not a portal there, right?
Why not? If you got
what do we know so far? Mars sucks. Australia sucks.
Any place with red dirt sucks.
Yeah, terrible. You ever play in that red dirt when you're a kid and you find some? It's the worst.
Oh, it's
never comes out.
Where I grew up, called Thorpedale, had good spuds, good fucking potatoes.
Good spuds, yeah.
Because it was all volcanic, but it was red as shit. And like we'd go play footy there and wear the away jerseys, so you'd have like red shorts. Fucking stained, just like the dirt just got everywhere. It wouldn't come out. So fine and shit. Fucking annoying.
But you still had white uniforms, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, no, not afterwards.
No, I mean like they always make white uniforms. Same in baseball, they always make white uniforms. People slide.
Oh yeah.
And it's covered in dirt. You're like, why don't you just make a brown? Your pants brown.
Stupid.
Yeah.
I always wondered that.
There's some I think there's some secret to getting those stands out. There's some
bleach,
sort of MLB like proprietary
probably
formula for getting those stains out. Always wonder how they do it.
And Byron, you had one more you wanted to toss at us.
Well, yeah. Look, it's all the conspiracies are done. I can tell you guys the truth now. Like that's we'll let everyone know. This is why you've really brought
finally
me on here. Okay. So everyone's watched the Truman Show, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
Australia. We all know Australia's bullshit. Pine Gap is just the headquarters for the station, for the production crew.
Dude,
that's where Australia is filmed from. And, okay, I'm probably going to get fucking caught saying this and letting you guys all know.
Your last podcast.
yeah, you may not see me again, but it's just the headquarters for the production crew.
And again, American budget. They're filming it. That's what it is. Done.
They don't air a lot of it over here, though, then, eh?
Hey, you guys talk. We're talking about it, are we not?
Yeah, I guess
so. We hear about all these deadly animals in Australia. Fucking bullshit. They're just little, like, robots running around. There's nothing there.
It's all fake. It's all some big, like, Thunderdome.
What was that? Oh, there's all these fires and floods and everything else. It's just trying to get the news going.
Mad Max is actually what is going on in Australia right now.
Yeah.
Actual documentaries. They're not movies.
No, they're not movies.
Yeah,
exactly.
So what you're saying is it's a lawless wasteland like Mad Max. And like the Australia that we see is just perpetuated by Pine Gap.
Exactly.
And it's like the movie Death Race, I imagine.
Well, see, you're saying it's a silly fucking name because it's the production crew's name. Like, that's what the production company's called. They're called Pine Gap.
Pine Gap Productions?
That's why I sound like so it. Shit. Like,
hey, you know what, though? On that point, one thing we didn't mention is one thing that's like 100% true is Pine Gap has a insane amount of processing power for their computers. That's everywhere I read, there's like, yeah, conspiracies aside, this place has so many fucking computers and processing power to like handle all their data. And that data is just for the reality show.
Satellite broadcast around the world.
Fuck the satellites.
In all, like my final thoughts on Pygap, what I think's going on there, I do think there's some dodgy shit. 100%. What I think it is I think they are collecting data there like you can't even imagine the stuff that probably runs through that facility that they have on you. And I wouldn't even be surprised if like this stream,
if they
our webcam feeds, all this stuff is running through there and they just don't tell anyone. They're like, we actually see fucking everything. Anything that's connected to a device, connected wirelessly, we see it all. Like, it doesn't matter. We hear the audio. We see the video. You're like, your camera's never really off. I wouldn't be surprised in the slight if it's something that like that. And that's why there's so much processing power. And that's why it's so valuable for intelligence agencies to have these strategic bases to pick up the like entire hemisphere of data.
Well, for sure. I mean, they're obviously not, they cannot listen and watch and stream everything that's happening on the internet. But if they have a target, all that power directed to find that target would be like, no wonder they fucking can pinpoint drone strike someone from halfway around the world, like within like a 3-foot precision.
I'm talking like to bring it back, Mission Impossible shit. Like they got fucking, we're detecting his voice on this cell phone. It's just fucking bing, 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 enhance, enhance, enhance. There he is right there.
Yeah. So I mean, so if they have a target and they find out what his device, like the IP address is, or they can like triangulate, then they could use.
Or even like face scanning or like keywords and stuff like that. And like you said, and then like the surveillance cameras and just CCTV.
Put that phone down. They're going to get you. Off.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you have your phone up, I bet this facility, if they target it and can pick up the signal, I bet they can look at your device's like exterior camera while you're talking on it.
Turn it on.
I don't think, you know, like, I think when we say, like, oh, cameras need to be turned on, we have this, like, idea of, like, a light needs to come on or something needs to happen, but, like, they're always on.
Well, they're not always, right? May not always be on, but they're always connected to that. They're not disconnected from the device, right?
They're always available.
Yeah, it's always available, if nothing else. I mean, because you read so many of those stories, like, of people who, like, they snoop and they'll turn on people's webcams and shit. And that's just, like, normal, not normal people, but, like, normal computer savvy people could figure
normal
out.
Normal people? What the fuck are you doing at your house there, buddy?
People who know shit about
you things. Guys should all cover your webcams. You're a bunch of disgusting pigs.
I'm going to angle mine up a little bit. This one.
Dan, what do you think about Pine Gap?
I believe that Pine Gap is part of Project Echelon, which was originally a secret government program for surveillance. And it is part of a UK-USA security agreement, which is an agreement between Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. And they're known as the Five Eyes.
God damn. That sounds terrifying.
Because it's real.
Yeah. So everything we said is true. They'll get you if they want to.
I mean, you do need a lot of data. You do need a lot of processing power to go through all of that data, like you said, so all those communications. But it's not just like more than likely, again, yeah, you have to have a specific target to find what you want, and them being able to do that is probably spot on. So if they want to be able to, you know, sneak into somebody's cell phone conversations of somebody who's leaving on a certain military convoy, or even if they want to pick up the targeting data of a long range missile test or something like that, they can do it. It's possible.
I agree with that.
Being able to pick up telemetry data and being able to, you know, comb through emails, whether they're commercial or military, is not beyond a thing. The everyday citizen, they probably don't give a fuck.
Probably
not. They really don't care, because it's too much stuff to go through to be like, they want to know what you're doing. And when there's like, however many people have, how many cell phones are there in the world?
I don't know. Jesus. 4 billion or something.
Oh,
right. Listen, and how many people do they have manning this one base?
How many what?
How many people would they possibly be manning this one base? There's no way that somebody would be combing through all of your data to be like, I'm going to watch
this.
That's
what I mean. It would have to be like keyworded and flagged. Like you couldn't.
Or a direct target. Like they're looking for a key thing. Yeah.
Or an area, or like, okay, we're targeting this city. We can do so much. Our bandwidth is so much, we can, you know, go through, we can monitor 300,000 people, at least their calls, and if there's any keywords of whatever they're looking for, yeah, like that.
Right. Passive information gathering, I'm sure they can do. Yep. No problem.
For sure.
Like, it's not going to be, you know, Snowden has put that stuff out. It's been around since like 2015 that they've put out these kinds of things, and we know about it. Like, people do know about it, and it's like, yeah, cover up your webcams, be responsible. You know, if you don't want people, you know, don't have privileged conversations, you know, out in the air, if you don't want somebody getting on to you. So it's, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, we live in an age where this stuff is possible, where there's almost no, I guess you could say there's almost no privacy anymore. So
it's only going to get worse.
Seems that way.
Maybe not.
Byron, what do you think? What's Pine Gap?
You know what? I'm down with the whole surveillance criteria talking. Like, if it was more than that going on, I don't think we would be able to easily see images of it. Okay, we're assuming that Google Earth, Google Maps view of Pine Gap is legit. But I don't think that there's enough security measures around it for it to be any more than what we know as just a top secret surveillance shit.
Satellite processing.
It sounds
center.
To me like it has the best protection, though. It has robotic flies that suck the moisture out of your body.
You're right. You're
hundreds,
wrong.
Billions,
swarms,
and billions, and billions, and billions of flies. That's what they have.
That just suck you dry of moisture.
No, I'm down. I'm down. I agree with everything about the whole surveillance thing. There's books released about it. I was listening to the one guy, David Rosenberg. He wrote the book In the Pine Gap, or Inside the Pine Gap. He was there for, I think, almost 10 years working there, an American. And
is he the guy that fell in love and had to get permission to get married?
100%. Yep. Yeah, that was him.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had to ask, and the everyone at Pine Gap, because he had to ask for permission, and then
they're controlling. Their concern is that whatever they're doing there is so secretive that they're worried that some sort of operative has compromised him to get information from him. So they basically have to check her background and then be like, yeah, she's clear.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing you're saying, that he had to secretly ask all this information from her. It's like, oh, it's just for, I forget what he told her, but basically he's trying to get all this information from her to hand on to his employer, and so he could marry them, just so they could check her out to make sure she's not fucking super secret spy or some shit. Yeah, leaking information, so... But he's got a whole book on it. You can look it up and have a read of that. And again, but like within the book, he had to run that by them, all his information that he was sharing, to make sure that they're okay with it and he didn't get, as a result of information is reading out. But yeah, I agree. Just spy shit.
Spy shit.
Spy shit.
Yeah, so he didn't get suicided.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not hanging out like some other people.
Yeah.
Oh, not too soon. Good. Good little jab. Right.
And Zell, do we already go around the horn? Final thoughts?
I kind of jumped in on top of yours, pretty much.
Okay. So we're all good. Why don't we fire up the randomatron? But first, before you fire that up, can we do the Metron now?
I can't find it. Where'd you send it?
Send it to the email.
No.
Yeah, I did. 100%. If you look at the emails where we sent all the, it's right under my BetterHelp one.
Ask PawnGap. They've got it now.
Oh,
there it is. So pull that up. But why don't we load up the randomatron first, and then you can queue that up. We'll do that right after.
Okay, let's get the randomatron going. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Boom. This is a fan submission. Nice. This person's the best.
Yes.
So this is Natalie Burton. Natalie, thank you, Natalie. When I was in third grade, we moved to another state. My dad was starting his residency and was pretty much never home. So it was mostly just my mom and I. My parents had rented a house off of a man whose mother had passed away recently. She didn't die in the house, but it was his childhood home and it hadn't been touched since the 50s or 60s. It was a very small three-bedroom with a small living room when you walked in, then a kitchen off to the side. From the kitchen was a door to a fully furnished basement. A fully finished basement. The basement had a cool bar in it and was pretty much the reason my parents rented the house. The basement was completely open aside from a small unfinished portion where the laundry was. And off of the laundry room was the creepiest room of all. It was small and I assume it had been used as a workshop back in the day. But the landlord had piled up all his mother's old furniture in there until he could find a place to put it. Shortly after moving in, things started to get weird.
Oh no.
It started with my dog at the time, who would seemingly out of nowhere jump up and run to the basement door to start barking. Shortly after that, my mom pretty much refused to do laundry without my dad being home because she didn't like being in the basement by herself. Have you ever run up a set of stairs because it felt like someone was coming up after you? Listen, isn't that how everyone walks up any stairs? That's how I walk up every single set of stairs I've ever walked up.
Go.
Yeah, I'm up them. Like something's chasing.
One quick check and then up you go.
Yeah. Especially if it's dark, like full sprint. Well, that was always the case here. It got to the point that my mom would wedge a tension rod, like a shower curtain rod, between the basement door and the side of the kitchen cabinets, making it impossible for the door to open. Eventually, my parents would start joking about the man in the basement, and he just became part of the house. Any crack or creak, or if our dog would start barking, someone would just kind of jokingly yell out for him to go back to the basement. Oh, that's fucking creepy.
You don't joke about that shit. There's your first mistake.
No, man. Dude, that's the first mistake. Whatever that thing is, you're giving it power, man.
Yep.
By acknowledging its existence, you're giving it power. One day, my mom was setting up for a party, and because she was down there, I decided to play in the basement, which ended up in me falling asleep. Oh, rookie mistake. Oh. Rookie mistake,
second
Natalie.
Mistake.
Jeez. I had a dream, but trust me, it was one of those dreams that feels very real, considering I still remember it 20-something years later. That I was playing with a little girl and she also really liked Barbies. While we were playing, I asked her if she wanted to see my room to play with my Barbies. She told me that she couldn't go, pointed at the old workshop room and said, "He won't let me go upstairs." Oh
no.
So this give me shivers. Brood. I don't like this. I'm scared to continue reading.
How much more than one? Let me lock the door.
I told my mom about this, and she convinced me that it was nothing more than a dream. Well, we lived in that house for almost 5 years and experienced a lot of classic haunted house occurrences, doors opening, TVs turning on, etc. Eventually, when I was a teenager, I jokingly made a reference to the man and the little girl in the basement of our old house. My mom said that she was never going to tell me back then, but that she would often be shaken in the middle of the night, thinking it was me trying to wake her up. Oh, fuck. Dude, it's giving me the fucking heebie-jeebies. When she would follow me out of her room, I was still sound asleep in my bed. She said that about a year before we moved out, she was talking to one of our elderly neighbors and asked about the old mother that used to live in our house. The neighbor told her that back in the 50s, when our landlord was really young, he had an older sister who was out riding her bike in the street. That day, their dad came home from work, didn't see her, and ran her over.
Oh!
Shortly after this, his father committed suicide. The mother refused to leave the house until her son forced her into a nursing home in the late 90s.
Jesus.
Goosebumps.
That is so creepy and sad and terrifying.
Yeah, all of that.
Yay. That's like a mongoose file, but paranormal.
Oh, dude, that's one of those ones where it's like a trap. Like you have a tortured soul, and then that soul, because of like the tremendous guilt of like, you know, killing his own daughter, is like now almost like overprotective of the other spirit, like not letting it pass, like won't let it leave its basement. Got to stay with me. Got to protect it. That's terrifying.
Doesn't
want to
lose it again.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's some. That's creepy. Anyways, that's the story about how I lived in a haunted house for 5 years. Love you guys.
Fuck
Natalie.
That. Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Natalie.
That was a great story.
I'm not going to sleep tonight. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to watch something funny after this.
You're full fucking. Oh, you see that? Full bloody goosebumps.
Yeah, Jesus dude, Christ. I was giving me the shivers.
Good thing I got Rick and Morty episode 7 to watch tonight to take my mind off of it.
Now, first off, before we do the Mitra, Zell, pop your hat off for a second.
Like this? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that guy. I didn't even notice
clean,
it.
Shave that baby right down with a 3 mil.
Yeah. What happened is when Zell gets out in the sun too much, he starts to burn. And first thing that burns off is his hair.
It just fries. It's like they, have you ever seen those videos of there's certain fields sometimes that get full of pollen and then they do controlled burns and it just incinerates off the ground. But then the grass is left perfectly green.
Yeah. That's
what happens to my head, but my hair gets burned completely off and my scalp is fine.
Just
actually looks pretty good, man.
Yeah, good. You got a nice bulbous head. It's a nice shape.
You know what? You know what? The hair has been slowly going back over the last 5-6 years.
Same as me.
And I got widow peaks. You got to get used to a bald head, like your shape of your head as a baldy. Mm-hmm. You just got to do it every once in a while. And
well, I'm saying some people don't have the head for it. Some people you see them bald and you're like, what's going on with that head there, bud? That's a weird shaped head.
Well, I agree with you, Zell. You got to cut early. So you got to start. Yeah. Like I started at a 3. I'm now at a 2. I'll be with you soon, Zell, with number one.
Like I hate
it. I was doing number one all last
Zell's got
summer.
A nice round potato head. Like he's got like
you shut your face, Dan. You shut your fucking face.
I'm coming to the mic, Dan.
I will eat your ass.
Okay. I'm not gonna let my babies die, Joe. I'm not gonna let my family die.
Pig babies, Joe. Let's get into the Mitra. Do you have it queued up now? Can we?
All right, Mitra for last month's Patreon supporters at $10 or more, getting you some custom swag bag. Here we go.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ryan Velardo.
Nice.
You know who that is?
That's, what's his Discord name? Lizard Man.
I think it's Lizard King or Lizard King. Cave Reptiles.
That guy's the legit Lizard King.
Yeah. He is the Lizard King. If anyone is going to make contact with the reptilians is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He'll broker a peace between reptile and man.
If anyone's a Slytherin, it's him.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Guy's speaking to snakes left and right.
Ryan, congratulations. I've already been talking to him, so he knows he won already. We're going to get some swag down to you. And I'll probably send something for your wife, too, just because I like you guys. We met you. Awesome people.
Been supporting the show a long time.
Met them at LA last year. Great times. We're had by all this month's Meat Draw winner. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to be entered in the Meat Draw, you're wondering, how do I get my name in the Meat Draw? Well, it's easy. You go to patreon.com/alientheoristspodcast and subscribe for $10 or more per month. But you don't have to go per month. You can just do it once. You do it once and you're going to be in the draw for the next following month. Only little as $10. The more, I also scale it up. So you have a better chance to win if you're in one of the higher tiers. But so far, it's majority has been $10 winners and a couple 25s. But yeah, so get on Patreon. And not only do you get entered in the draw, you get wicked, basically another full podcast.
You get a bunch of small podcasts that we do all the time.
And you're going to get this show ad free.
Oh. COVID strikes the alien theorists.
Yeah, this was all our big plan from the get-go when we came up with big COVID. It was all so we could start lining up ads.
It was also I could lose my job and all my clients and then have to charge
guilt-free
for ads. Guilt-free.
Yeah, so then we guilt-free put ads on the show. So ads are coming. Listen. People are going to be like, wait, you said never going to do ads. So I was like, yeah, I did say that. You know what? Things change.
So, You know what? When we first said that, we were probably really drunk. And it was 2 years ago. And that was when we really didn't think we had any business being full-time podcasters.
No.
For the record, I never said
Dan,
that. Yeah, Dan
never said anything either way.
He
so
sold
he's
out
I had
100% one.
Faith in this podcast from the beginning. I was like, we're going to get big.
Yeah.
Dan was only on every other one or every third one. So,
and he said, the second you have me on full time, we better retalk these ads.
Yeah.
I never said anything about it. I just knew you guys were going to eat those words at some point.
You know what? Yeah. We were drunk and high. And you know what? In a perfect world, I would love to do no ads ever. But 97% of the people listening to the show are a bunch of motherfucking freeloaders. Just kidding. That's the world we live in. You get stuff for free, but you got to listen to some ads. If you're supporting us on Patreon, you get no ads and a whole bunch of bonus stuff. And
nothing's going to change for you guys, for you beauties. Most of our Patreon supporters and like our big supporters on Discord, we've kind of been hinting this isn't happening. And we kind of did the soft one with the Amazon. But we'll
talk about the Amazon that one and after hours. How bitter we are.
But you know, it's coming and it's gonna help us get the show better to a better spot. So and it's only gonna make it better for everyone. So
no, we love everyone listening to the show. It's you know what, most people don't pay for anything, and that's just the way the world we live in. And
it's totally fine. Let's read some. Zell, why don't you make up some names?
I'm gonna make up a couple names here.
Attaboy.
Patreon supporters this week. The God is supporting us.
Attaboy.
Nice.
That's neat.
Old girl.
So the God is all depending on who's your the God. But newest supporter.
Thanks, Buddha.
Thanks, Thor. Richie Spencer. James Barnett. Savannah Mitchell. No, Savannah Michelle. Dylan Baker. AJ Santos. Esme Phoenix. That's a good name. Storm Blessed.
Cool.
Jesus. Sebastian Solberg Carlson. Matthew Simpson. And those are all the new supporters this week. Thank you very much.
You.
I also have a theorite of the week. Everyone give it up for Amanda, or known as Twisted Anomaly on Discord. She is now our website intern.
Sick.
Doing stuff that we don't know shit about. I put a little
Yay.
A, I put a little call to action out to see if anyone wanted to help us out with the website. We had a couple people try and charge us way too much, and then a couple people who didn't pan out. And she's just graduating with some, I'm not sure exactly where her degree is, but some type of media arts, website design and the like. So she's going to help us out as an intern.
Perfect. The best thing about it, like helping us, I would say, is that you could write that you literally did anything on your resume and we will give you a reference for that.
That's what I said to her. I was like, listen, we can't pay yet, but if you need a reference or anything, cover letter,
she should say she's the director of the show and manager of talent and writer, you writes all the jokes.
You want to say like, yeah, guys probably told them, we will 100% have Dan write you like a 3-page glowing reference.
Yeah. Do you want Dan to write your thesis paper? He will do it.
Whoa. Yeah. For fun.
For fun in the spare time.
Now that he's a maester, do you want to become a maester? Dan will do it for you. Become knighted. Dan, you can chain people, right? Do you still do that? Do maesters do that?
Yes.
You can like give them their maester's chain?
Oh, I thought you were talking about something still else. Happens.
On rare occasions.
Yeah, okay. Zell, you got a band of the week?
No band of the week this week. Got a couple in the works, but they didn't quite get their songs in. If you're a band that sent your stuff in and I never played it, please send it again because it gets lost. Send it to alientheorists@gmail.com with express permission to be able to use your song on the show. So I can fight any type of copyright charge YouTube throws at me. And you got, stipulation, you can't be signed. No cheaters. Unsigned bands trying to make it, such as myself. So that's all. That's it for me this week. Anything else?
Thanks for having me.
You won't see Byron for 5 months because season 5 Apex Legends comes out tomorrow and he's gone. That's it.
That and Pine Gap's got me now.
Yep.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the video, the TV series Pine Gap.
Oh, there is a TV series. Pine Gap had one season. It was canceled. You can check it out if you want.
It's on Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't watch it.
Neither. All right. As we always say at the end of these things, if you want to catch After Hours, got to be on that Patreon. But we're going to After Hours. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace.
Woo.